Hand this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Who's the man this morning? My name is Miles and Pastor The Rock. Welcome to The Rock. Listen, why don't you take a minute, and here's what I would like you to say to the person next to you, behind you. I may need your help this morning. Say that. I may need your help this morning. Matter of fact, can I ask y'all do me a favor? Can I ask everyone to stand up just for 1 second and squeeze into the middle? Squeeze into the middle. There you go. So people coming in can get a seat. Thank you very much. We have any visitors from out of town? Visitors from out of town? Yes, where are you from back there? Where y'all from?
USA.
USA? Let's try this one more time. Y'all back there, y'all are from the USA?
USA.
Oh. Oh, that makes you feel a little better. Welcome from L.A. You right there in the striped shirt, you. Where are you from?
Northern California.
What's your name, young man?
Nathan.
How old are you?
19.
Good to have you in church. Over here. Yeah, you. Did you raise your hand? Are you from out of town too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where are you from?
Fresno.
Fresno. You notice how people, when they say that town, it's like they say it with their own little, Fresno. When you land on the plane, they say, welcome to Fresno. Anybody else back here from out of town? Yes. Where are you from? My boyfriend's parents are from Monterey. How about you? Are you from here? Okay, you're speaking on their behalf. How you doing, Monterey parents? How you doing? Welcome. Anybody else? Yes. Chicago. Welcome. I know it's cold in that place. Is it cold? It's not? Who's from Chicago? Do you know what the hawk is when the hawk is out? No, not a basketball. Do you know what it means when they say the hawk is out? Does anybody know what that means? What does it mean? It means it's cold. You never heard that? When you go back to Chicago, ask someone, find somewhere that's cool. And say, do you know what the hawk, I'm not saying you're not cool. I'm not trying to apply that. But just go up to somebody and say, do you know what it means when the hawk is out? That's when you hear, when you're in your house, and you go, whoosh, that's the hawk. Don't come outside. Anybody else here from out of town? Yes, where? Where? Yes. Mazatlan. Mazatlan. Wow. Welcome from Mazatlan. I've been to Mazatlan before. It's very beautiful. Yes, yeah, very beautiful. Yes.
Phoenix, Arizona.
They have no hawks there. Anybody else? Visitor? Yes. Houston, okay. Do you know that China is, they're in a big industrial revolution of building up, I think they're building, right now they're currently working on 2,800 high-rises. And the reason the prices of steel and concrete in this country are going way through the roof is because China's buying it, and they build an equivalent of the city of Houston every month. Do you know that? So when we get our next bid for our building, the reason the price will be, the reason it went up $3 million from the last bid, it went up $3 million the last time we got a bid is because of China and because of Houston. So it's your fault. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray we have a great time today. May you bless us and teach us in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. My parents live in Florida, and they decided to move to San Diego, so they are packing up their house as we speak. They were here 2 weeks ago for Easter. Amen. And they have a 3,000-square-foot home in Florida that they bought for like $17. And they're coming to move here to live in an apartment for $9,000 a month. Not really $9,000, but you know what I'm saying. And they're getting this little apartment, so they have to get rid of a lot of stuff. And so they're packing up all this stuff, and one of the things they're going to bring is all the pictures in the house. Whenever I go to their house, I spend about the first hour going through every room looking at all the pictures. Because they have pictures of all my brothers and sisters, of our life when we were little, the sports pictures, the newspaper stuff, all the pictures of our aunts, uncles, grandparents, great-great-grandfather we have a picture of. In Jamaica, he's an old guy sitting in the seat, wrinkled up. So I just love going through, seeing these pictures of my cousins, nephews, aunts, everybody. But if I told you that I was their child and you went to their house and there was no pictures of me, you would question whether I was their son. But because I'm their son, there better be pictures of me and my brothers and sisters because we're all one family. The same thing is true of Christ. If Jesus Christ is really God, if he really is God eternal, he was there in the beginning, there should be pictures of him throughout the whole Bible, in every book, every chapter. Not only references to what he did, example, references of the lamb that was slain. He's the lamb that was slain. In the Old Testament, you needed a lamb you killed the lamb to have your sins forgiven. In the tabernacle, they had a lamp that was a light for the priest. He's the light of the world. In the tabernacle, they had bread. He's the bread of life. In the tabernacle, they had one door. He's the door. The good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. So there's a lot of references to him, but even more specifically, we should be able to see him. Very specifically, a man, Jesus, walking around. So we're going to look at that today. Let's start with a little quiz. How many books in the Bible?
66.
Everyone sit up straight and put your booty back. Take a deep breath. How many books in the Bible?
66.
Very good. How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
Everyone say 39.
39.
Say 39.
39.
How many books in the New Testament?
27.
And if you weren't here last week, it's 39 books in the 39 books in the Old Testament. 3 times 9 is?
27.
So that's how many books in the New Testament. Okay, 39, 3 times 9, 27. How old was Jesus when he died?
33.
What's 2 times 33?
66.
How many books in the Bible?
66.
Let's look at our intro to our lesson plan. It says, the Who is Jesus Really series is designed to maximize the ability of the people of the Rock to understand and defend the identity of Christ as outlined in the Bible. We're in a series, second week, called Who is Jesus Really? And is designed to help you understand and defend the identity of Christ as God. If Jesus is really God, there should be a consistent pictures of him throughout all 66 books of the Bible, the 39 of the Old and the 27 of the New Testament. We should be able to see him if he's really God. Now, last week I made some statements about the Word of God. We talked about the reliability of Scripture. And I said that if God's word is God's word, if the Bible is God's word, everything scientific in the Bible has to be scientifically accurate. Because God made science. He created the parameters of biology, the parameters of chemistry, the parameters of physics. They just come out of the air, nowhere. They have very specific laws and rules and that govern them, and God created them. Okay? God speaks to them in the Bible. And if this is God's word, he couldn't have got it wrong because he made it, if it's his word. If it's his word, all the history in the Bible has to be accurate because he was there. And he couldn't have got it wrong. Okay? If Jesus is God, there should be Jesus throughout the Bible. If he's there, if he created it, and he was interacting with man in all history, he should be in the Bible. We should be able to see him. And again, if you read through, and this is all on our website, you can see there are metaphors, the lamb that was slain, the bread of life, the light of the world. There's all kind of metaphors in the Old Testament that point towards Jesus in the New Testament. And we can go on forever on those. But there's also appearances of Christ as a man. a man or an angel, we're going to see today, an angel, that he shows up where people interact with him in the Old Testament. And they're called theophany. If you look in your notes, there's a word called theophany. Theophany. An appearance of God before man. Now, an epiphany is an appearance or a manifestation. A theophany is an appearance of God. Thea, T-H-E-O, is a Greek word for God. Theology is the study of God, like biology, the study of biosystems. Psychology is the study of the psyche. Theology is the study of God. Very simple. Thea is God. So theophany is an appearance of God. In the Old Testament, God shows up and talks to people. The Lord, the angel of the Lord, the I Am, Jehovah, shows up and has conversations with people. Talks with them, eats with them, walks with them. That's Jesus in the Old Testament. It's called a theophany. What we're going to look at is we're going to look at what is the common thread between the theophanies, the Old Testament appearances of God, and the New Testament, which is Christ himself, and even the book of Revelation. There's one common thread, and it is the presence of fire. Everyone say fire.
Fire.
Fire. We all know that fire is something our mother told us all our life never to what with? Don't play with fire because fire will jack you up every time. Mom also said don't play around water. But water, you know, you can play in water, you swim in water, blah, blah. But fire is no joke. We all know that when we think of fire, we think of pain, we think of death, we think of fear, heat, destruction. But God uses fire for good things. And so we're going to see six examples of Christ, Old Testament, New Testament, and every single one he's going to be using and interacting with fire. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:10 that when the Lord, the day of the Lord is like a thief in the night. It's going to come when we don't know it. And all the elements on the earth are going to melt from the heat that God is going to judge the earth with. So he's going to judge the earth with fire and everything is going to be melted. Not destroyed, we're going to see in a minute, but melted. It's going to have its form changed. So we're going to see these six examples of how Christ validates his divinity by using fire. Number one, he establishes his divine presence and introduces his name. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. The first book of the Bible is Genesis. Turn to the second book, which is Exodus. Exodus. And if you were here when we did the series on Exodus, Exodus is what from Egypt? Everyone say exit. E-X, exit from Egypt. Exodus is exit from Egypt. And when God initiated the process of exit from Egypt, he called Moses. And you're going to learn some interesting thing about Christ right in this interaction with fire. Exodus 3, verse 1. It says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame. Everyone say, angel of the Lord. Anytime you see in the Old Testament, angel of the Lord with a capital A, that's Jesus. Anytime you see angel of the Lord in the Old Testament with a capital A, that's Jesus. It's God. We'll see that in a minute. Just put that in your brain because it's all throughout the Old Testament. He interacts with Samson's parents. He interacts with Jacob when he changed his name. It's all throughout the Old Testament. Angel of the Lord with a capital A, that's Jesus. Let's keep reading. You'll see why it's not just any other angel. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame from the fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked upon it and the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. Moses says, I will now turn asunder and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn. Verse 4, when the Lord, well, I thought it was the angel, now it's the Lord, same guy. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God, same guy, God, Lord, angel of the Lord, called to him from the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for where you stand is holy ground. Now, a few things. Angel of the Lord, capital A. Lord, God, holy ground. All the same guy, all the same location. What you have to understand is that you are not to worship angels. You can't worship an angel. Angel is not worshipable. Angels say, don't worship me. I worship the same Savior and God you do. You cannot worship angels. Anytime you see any character in the Bible being worshipped, accepting worship, demanding worship, that's only God. God, Jesus said in Matthew 4, you shall bow down to no idol and worship God and him only. So here's this angel of the Lord, this representative, this this appearance of God. Then it says he's God. Then it says he's the Lord. And then he says, this ground you're standing on is holy. And you know why it's holy? Because I'm here. I make it holy because I'm God. Now look at verse 13. They have a conversation. Verse 13. Moses says to God, to the angel, to the Lord, to the fire, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say? In other words, Moses is having this conversation with the fire who's the angel of the Lord, the fire who's God, the fire who's Lord, the fire who's told him to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground. The same fire, same character. He's saying, what's your name? Who are you? This is the first time God introduces his personal name in the whole Bible. Look what it says in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Doesn't sound like a smart aleck? Where are you? I am where I am. I'm in my skin. You know, I was interviewing someone a long time ago for a job, and I said, where do you come from? And she said, my mother. And I really don't think she was being smart. I really don't, but it was definitely a different kind of answer. What God was saying was, and look what he says after that. He says, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent me. I am is Yahweh, or what we say, Jehovah. They don't really know how to say that word because they took the vowels out and Jews never say that word. You never say the name of God. It's too holy. But what it means is that he exists independently. He always was. He's uncreated. He always will be. He's the undisputed champion of the world, never will be dethroned. And he is now. He doesn't need anything from any of us to exist or to validate his importance. He is independent. I am who I am. I always was, I always will be, and I am today. I exist all by myself. If anyone ever asks you a question, well, where did the earth come from? God made it. Where did the universe come from? Where did God come from? He always was. Well, I can't be. Yes, because he's God. We exist in time. God pre-existed before time. There was a time when time didn't exist. We can't comprehend that because we always lived in time. But there was a time, and it wasn't during a time because there was no time. But there was a time when there was no time. God was there. I know you're like, I don't get it. Neither do I. Because you can't get it. You can't get it. When you go to heaven, you're going to see colors you've never seen. You think you know all the colors. There are going to be colors you've never seen, sounds you never heard. When I went to Africa, our first night in a tent on safari, we stayed on a safari and we were in the jungle. We heard sounds. Woo, 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 wah, wah. You could have swore that these animals were conspiring on us. Sounds you never heard. You're laying in bed. Now, you know, if you go to bed now, you know, you hear some coyotes maybe. One day there was an owl outside of my house, outside of my window, making this weird, real sound. But pretty much you know this, you know, wake up, tweet, tweet, tweet. Okay, those are common, no big deal. But when you start hearing sounds like, you're like, you go to heaven, sounds you never heard, sights you never seen, colors you never seen, feeling you never had. It's beyond us. There's so much more to reality than what we experience. But this God says, I am who I am. Now, we've established that this angel of the Lord is the Lord, is God, and his name is Jehovah, I am. Now turn to John chapter 8. And you have to understand, to a Jew, that is the most holy name There is. To a Jew, you never say that name. When they were rewriting the Bible in the Old Testament, when they came to that name, they would have to take off all their clothes and wash themselves before they would write that name. And they would never write the whole name because they couldn't say it. It was too holy. So just keep that in your mind, that this is the name of God, the most holy name in the Jewish community. And here's Jesus talking to his critics. Chapter 8, verse 48. And we're going to see Jesus claim to be God in two or three different ways. It says, the Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you, Jesus, are a Samaritan and you have a demon? Okay, it's a long story, but we're not going to look at the whole story. Jesus says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. What Jesus is saying is, if you obey me, you won't die. Now, who could say that but God? A prophet would never say that. A prophet would say, you have to obey God. But a prophet would never say, obey me, and you'll never die. So they're like, man, you are tripping. Look what they say to him next. Verse 52, the Jews say, you're tripping. Their way of saying is that now you have a demon. The same thing, you got a demon, you're tripping. I mean, tripping's a mild thing versus saying you got a demon. Now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You have to understand, Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham is the father of the Jewish people. And by the way, Muslims claim Abraham as their father. The Jews say Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where that gold dome is. The Muslims say Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Ishmael. That's why they fight over that piece of land. Very simple. So Abraham is the father of the Jews. The Muslims claim him as their father, and the Christians claim him as their father because Christ came from the Jews. He is the father of faith. So look what he says. In verse 52, the Jews say, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus says, if I honor myself, it is nothing. My honor is nothing. If my Father honors me, of whom you say he is your God, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father, listen to what he says about Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He's saying, Abraham, your father, he was looking forward to me. What? Abraham looked forward to the Messiah. What's Jesus saying? Let's keep reading. It gets even worse. Verse 57. The Jews say, you are not 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. Please. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, Yahweh, I am. What he say? And they're going, shh. First, he said the unspeakable word, number one. And number two, he's saying that's him. He's saying, you remember the burning bush, y'all? Pharisees? Remember Moses? They knew very well. They never say that word. He's saying before Abraham was. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now, you think I'm making it up? Let's keep reading. Look what it says. It says, verse 59, they took up stones to throw at him. They were going to kill him. Because if you blaspheme God, if you equated any attribute of God to you, there's a death penalty by Old Testament law. They had to kill you. Look what it says. They took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple, going through the midst of them, and he passed by. They were going to kill him. Why? Because Jesus says, listen, if y'all obey my word, you won't die. What about Abraham? Hey, before Abraham was, I am Jehovah God. No. You got to go. You're worse than a demon. We got to kill you. In the bush was Jesus. In the bush, burning fire, speaking of Moses, was Jesus in the Old Testament. He used the fire to establish his presence and to introduce his name. Number two, he validates his divinity by using fire, by executing divine judgment on sinful man. Turn to Genesis, first book in the Bible, Genesis 18. First book in the Bible, Genesis 18. Gospel means? Gospel means? Gospel means? Very good. How many books in the Bible? How old was Jesus when he was born? Gotta pay attention now. You're in church. You ain't in the schoolyard. Chapter 18, verse 1. It says, then the Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre. And he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Who is the Lord? Jesus. This is all. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, the three men were standing by him. And he saw them, and he ran from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. And what happened was, Jesus and two angels were going to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if the sin, the sexual sin in the city, was as he had heard through the cries of people praying. The sexual sin in the city was homosexuality, was at least one of the sins, because when the angels came into the city and went into Lot's house, men of the city came and knocked on the door and said, bring those men out that we may know them carnally or have sex with them. God went down to judge the city. The Bible says the cry of the people came to him, this Lord person. When you pray, your prayers don't go to angels. They don't go to saints. They go to God. You can pray to saints, but the Bible doesn't tell you to do that, and saints can't answer your prayer. Only God can. You don't need to pray through anybody to get to God. Christ is our mediator. So when you pray, it goes directly to God. So this Lord figure that's saying, people have been crying out to me, it's God. And he's coming down, illustrating what he does spiritually to us to say, I'm going to see if this is true. And if it's true, I'm going to judge this city by fire. Look at chapter 19, verse 22. The angels say to Lot and his family who live in Sodom and Gomorrah, hurry, escape, for I cannot do anything until you arrive at the city where you're going. Therefore, they call the name of the place Zoar. The sun had risen from the earth when Lot entered Zoar, and the Lord, rained fire, brimstone and fire on Sodom from the Lord out of the heavens. The Lord does that. When you die, the Bible says it's appointed for a man to die one time and face judgment. You are going to be judged by God. God executes judgment, and the judgment is fire. Now, I heard there are several ways. There are good ways to die and bad ways to die. A good way to die is an old man or old woman, saved, family saved, they love you, and you can die in peace, fall asleep, and expire. That's a good death. I heard someone say drowning is a peaceful death. Now, no one told me from experience, so I don't know how you believe that one. But I do know that dying by fire cannot be pleasant. But you know what happens when you die without Christ? You don't die of fire. You are punished by fire. Forever. You and I are eternal beings. You will never die. You're never going to cease to exist. You and I will exist somewhere forever. It's either with the Lord or without the Lord. And the place that is the only place left without the Lord is the place reserved for the devil. Matthew 25. It says that God has reserved a place for the devil and his demons. We call that place hell. That's the only place we can go. And so you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're born with sin. The penalty of sin is separation from God, and the only place that could be is hell. But Christ says, let me pay the price for your sin. Let me pay the penalty for your sin by dying on the cross. That's why he died. And if you accept my death in your place, I will forgive you of your sin and you don't have to go to the fire. That's the plan. And so it's very vivid. This his use of fire, as we're going to see as we keep going, is very vivid because we all know fire is no joke. Fire is no joke. Number three, he initiates a purifying process through baptism. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Everyone say Matthew. Say Mark. Say Luke. John. One more time. Everyone say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. How many Gospels are there? Everyone say four. Four. Everyone say four. And what are they? Very good. Everyone say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Why does he keep making it say it over and over again? Because that's how you learn. I don't want to learn. Don't come to church. John is baptizing people in water. Now, when you get baptized in water, the water doesn't cleanse your sin. And because we baptize you in the bay, you're more funky when you get out than when you go in. I'm just saying. But when you go down in the bay or in the pool, wherever you get baptized, it is symbolic of a couple things. One, you going in the grave and resurrecting a new person. Just like Jesus went in the grave and resurrected a new person. It's also symbolic of your sins being cleansed. Symbolic. But there's another baptism. Look what it says in verse 11. It says, Jesus, this is John the Baptist talking. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to strap or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. When you acknowledge that you are a sinner and you ask Christ to forgive you and you say, Lord, please forgive me, what he does is his Holy Spirit comes in you, cleanses you, and his Holy Spirit fire, not physical fire like you and I know, this supernatural spiritual fire purifies your life, your heart, your soul. Let me read something to you. Jeremiah 20. If you want to turn there, you can. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It's a very interesting thing about fire that I want to tell you. Fire never goes down. Think about it. Have you ever seen fire burn down? Now, if something's on fire, fire will go down to go around something, but it's trying to go up. In other words, you have a log burning, you'll see fire go like that. It'll go down a little bit, but eventually it's going up. Fire doesn't burn this way. It burns up. And fire does not destroy. It changes the form of things. If this building burnt to the ground, all the mass of this building would be conserved. It would conserve. All the mass in the universe is always conserved. It's a constant. So the mass of this building, all the things we see, would just change form. Some would become ashes, some parts would become smoke, gases, etc. But it's still there. What God wants to do when he baptizes you with fire, he wants to, one, take your spirituality up, your commitment up, your sensitivity to his word up to another level. And he wants to change the form of your life. That's what his fire does. Let me read this to you. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah was a prophet, and for 40 years he preached. No one ever listened to him. They put him in jail. They threatened his life. They tried to kill him. They called him the weeping prophet. He was always, please repent, please repent. And they never listened to him. Well, one day he says, I'm not going to preach anymore because no one's going to listen. And look what it says in verse 9. He said, then I said, Jeremiah, I will not make mention of him anymore nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary from holding it back. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to speak someplace, and this happened just the other day, Thursday night. I had 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I said, okay, just go up there and be real calm. Don't start yelling and spitting and, you know, and just be real methodical and... And I can't. Partly it's because of this fire. Even when I'm on a plane witnessing somebody, I mean, it's after a while, you know, I'm just talking to them like this. And by the time the plane lands, I'm like, you know what I mean? And they're like, let's pray right now. just to get me out of their face. You don't need to be like that. But you know what? If God purifies you with his fire and he starts turning the heat up, you got to say, Lord, turn the heat up on my life. I want to be more obedient. I want to be like this. I want to be so committed to doing what you want me to do. There was a little kid on my son's baseball team, T-ball, and he had trouble running the bases. He would never pay attention to the coach. He would just kind of just run and get tagged out. So he said, listen, when you get on second base, I was at third base this particular game. When you get on third base, I just want you to look at me and don't move until I say come. He's like, oh, okay, okay. He had bubbles in his mouth. He's like, oh, 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 oh. I said, just stay on me. He's like 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds. That brother was like a cocker spaniel. He was like, he wasn't looking at anything. And the whole game's going. He ain't paying attention. He's just like this. And I'm laughing, but that's exactly what he was told. That's exactly what God wants to be like this. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I don't care what he's saying, what she's saying. I don't care if I'm losing my job or getting a new job or getting a girlfriend, whatever it is. What do you want me to do? That's that fire. When God baptizes you, he not only cleanses you, he starts to turn the heat up. And he wants you to be like this, anal on being obedient, focused on being obedient. Number four, his fire displays divine approval for our intentions. He displays divine approval. And number five, he exercises divine vision. I'm going to put these two together. When you die as a Christian, you are going to be judged. You're going to come to God and you're going to say, somehow you're going to be, all your deeds and your actions are going to be judged. They're going to be tested to see what, if they were done in faith or not. And he's going to test them by fire. I don't know if you remember, if any of you had this experience when you were a kid and you wanted to buy your girlfriend or your boyfriend something nice and you didn't have a lot of money, so you got them this bracelet that looked like it was gold. And you gave it to them in the movies where they couldn't see it real well. Oh, baby. You maybe got a little kiss from it, you know what I'm saying? But then about 2 days later, the gold turned to what? Green. That bracelet was tested by time. Your deeds, my deeds, are going to be tested by fire. Symbolically, you're going to come to God with all these good deeds you did, and he's going to torch it with fire and see what's gold, silver, and what's wood, hay, and stubble. And the things you've done outside of faith, selfishly, based on fear, based on manipulation, based on trying to manipulate someone else, God will say, you don't get any credit for that. The things you've done by faith are going to be like gold. They're going to withstand the fire of the test. The Bible says in Revelation chapter, turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Last book of the Bible. Revelation is the book of Revelation is all about revealing Jesus Christ. First five words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 18. It says, to the angel of the church of Thyatira, the pastor, these things write, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. See these eyes right here? See that fire? Those eyes of flame? God's word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You know that everything about you, God sees right now. You can't hide anything from him. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He knows every single one of us. He knows everything about one of us. He's no joke. All of you in here who have asked Christ to be your Savior, he knows you are. And all of you in here who haven't, he knows who you are. And he desperately wants to forgive you. His eyes don't miss anything. Fire judgment's coming. And God's saying to you, I want to protect you from that fire judgment. And that's our last theophany. Turn to Daniel, Old Testament. Please try to find it because it's a great story, one of the best stories in the Bible. This is, I must have preached on this story 100 times. It is one of my favorite. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everyone say Shadrach? Shadrach. Say Meshach. Meshach. Abednego. Abednego. A bad Negro. Shadrach, Meshach, and the brother. Here's the story. Nebuchadnezzar is 60 feet. Nebuchadnezzar is a king. He builds a statue to himself 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and he has this big ceremony. He says, listen, when the music plays, I want everyone to bow to my idol. Okay? And when you hear Michael Jackson go, oh, I want everyone to bow. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we ain't bowing. We know 10 commandments, you should not bow down to any idol. We are not bowing. So everybody does, the music plays, everyone starts bowing, Nebuchadnezzar, you the man, you the man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, no, we ain't bowing. They were high officials in his government, very high up in his government. They were kidnapped as little boys, raised and trained to be a Babylonian. God blessed them, and they became high officials in Nebuchadnezzar's government. So they're right up there on stage with them. They ain't bowing. So Nebuchadnezzar said, hold up. We're going to play this music again, and if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace, and we're going to turn the furnace up 7 times. Let's see what happens. Look at verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded to heat the furnace 7 times more than was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor, big ultimate fighter dudes, who were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. They were tied up. And they were cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, these guys who tied them up and were taking them to the fire, they get ready to throw them in. The fire leaped out and killed them. If I'm taking you in fire to throw you in and I die, how can I throw you in? I can't. At least that's my opinion. I can't throw you in. The Bible says in verse 23, these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was astonished when he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors, saying, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace? The answer said, yeah, king. He says, look, I see 4, and they're loose, and they're walking around, and they are not hurt, and the form is like the Son of God. Who's the man?
Jesus.
Jesus went, what? Not an angel. Jesus is the one who protects you from the fire. You die without Christ, you stand before God, unforgiven, fire is all you get. Eternal separation from God. You accept Christ as your Savior, you die, the fire just tests your works. It's whatever you want to choose. In the Old Testament, Moses got the law when he was up on Mount Sinai. God spoke to him out of fire. And because the people at the bottom of the mountain rebelled, 3,000 died because they resisted the voice of the fire. In Acts chapter 2, when the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, they had tongues of fire on their head as symbolic of the baptism of fire. 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people died. 3,000 people saved. Depends on how you react to the fire. If you say, I'm going to take my chances with the fire. I don't need Jesus Christ to forgive me. I don't need Jesus Christ to protect me like in Daniel. I think I'm a good enough person. Death. But if you say, no, you know what? I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And I believe that the penalty is death because we're all going to die. And I believe Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus, please forgive me. Protect me from fire. Purify me with fire. Burn in my heart with fire. I want you to forgive me because I don't want to go and face fire on my own. In a minute, we're going to pray. If you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I don't want to mess with fire on my own. I acknowledge that you are God, that you walked in fire, spoke from fire, dwelt in the pillar of fire. He ascended into heaven in a flame in front of Samson's parents. He judges with fire. He purifies with fire. He baptizes with fire. He has eyes of fire. Lord, I want you to protect me. I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse my heart. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you that you love us and that even though we are rebellious at times, sinful at times, you still offer and extend the opportunity to be forgiven to us. And Lord, there may be somebody here this morning who has never asked you to be their Savior, to forgive them. But they realize they need you. They do not want to face the fire alone. If you realize today you are a sinner, your sin needs to be forgiven, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with me, a prayer of confession, to ask Jesus to be your Savior. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. But I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe that you are the Lord. And dear Jesus, I pray and ask that you forgive me of my sin, that you come live in my heart, that you would be my Savior and my Master. I surrender my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit fire. I surrender my life to you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. If you're saying this morning, yes, Lord, here I am, please forgive me. Yes, Lord, here I am, I surrender my life to you. In a minute I'm going to ask you to stand and acknowledge that. And by standing, you are acknowledging in a public place, yes, Jesus is my Savior. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, and this morning you're saying, yes, Lord, here's my life. No more fighting you. I accept you as my God this morning. Just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you too. God bless you. Many of you are standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. Good. 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 Many of you are standing. Anybody else? God has spoken to you. Today's the day. Yes, Lord. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God has spoken to you. God bless you. And you don't want to turn away from him today. God bless you. Good. We see you. Good. You don't want to turn away from him today. You want to make sure. God bless you. Good. That this is the day. You're not turning back. Good. God bless you. Very good. 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 Anybody else? Your heart is pounding. You won't be alone. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing there, many of you standing, as we welcome you to the family of God. We're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down.
God bless you. Stay right here, okay? Stay right here. God bless you.
Come on down.
God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Stay right here. Stay right here. Stay right there. You guys can stay here. Stay here. Stay here. God bless you. 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 Amen. What's up, man? God bless you. 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 How are
you? I was cured.
Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I hope that seeing people come forward never gets old to you. You know what? The average church has 3 people a year come forward. A year. God has an amazing plan for all your lives. The only thing you got to do is do what he says. It's that simple. The reason we read the Bible and pray and go to church is just so we can know what he says to do. God is bigger than all your whole world. He knows everything about your life, everything, past, present, and future. Remember, he eternally was, he eternally will be. He's been there, done that. He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. All you have to do is say, Lord, I just want to trust you. I just want to do what you say. It's amazing what happens when you obey God. It's also hurtful when we disobey. Amen?
Amen.
You don't want to disobey. So we want to pray for y'all, and then we're going to ask a young man in the end, what's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, see that young lady right next behind you? In a minute, we're all going to follow you, and you're going to follow her, and we're going to take you into a room over there. Okay? And if we can ask all y'all who are over here to not move and let them get through so we don't lose anybody, is that cool? It's going to take about 2 minutes. Next week, we're going to talk about the Trinity. Jesus, who is he really? He's part of the Trinity. We're going to talk about that next week. Bring some friends. If any of y'all can go to the 8 o'clock service, we really appreciate it, just to make room for more people. Okay, we have a Saturday night service, and we're back to having people stand in the back. If you want to go to 8 o'clock, it'll be real helpful. We can get people in here. Let's pray for these peoples. Amen. Lord, we thank you for all these people. Lord, we thank you that you have a plan. We thank you that you love these people so much. You know everything about them. And we pray, Lord, that they would just trust you. We pray your Holy Spirit fire would transform their life. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you so much, God, for being patient with us. Bless these people. Show them why they're here on earth, who they are, what you have for their life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask all y'all to take a ride.